1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons. The diseases that I am protecting my child against, they're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
That first hour flew by quickly. I suppose because I started with the confession that we don't have water at my house. And so on this night, more than ever, I'm pretty thankful that it's not TV. You don't need to see me. My hair is a bit of a muss. It's one of those nights where you could flip me upside down, dunk my hair in a bucket of water, and use it to mop the floor. So it's a little bit like that. But it's not TV. This is a medium that is better left for theater of the mind, I think. And so we're going to talk about not just the Stanley Cup final and the Panthers being two wins away from their first ever cup, but also we're asking you, in light of Mike Tomlin's contract extension, sorry Steelers fans, but he's not going anywhere. He is the longest tenured NFL head coach, and the Rooneys want to keep it that way. If not Mike Tomlin, then who is feeling the pressure? Who's going into a 2024 season of having to prove it? What coaches have got to earn their keep in 2024, in your humble opinion? On Twix at Amy After Hours, that's our show account. I know a lot of you follow it. We see the numbers on a nightly basis. Thank you for that, at Amy After Hours. Our Facebook page too, there's a spot up there. Your answers do always tend to be eye-opening because it seems like every single fan base has got a beef with their coach. If it's one that's got more, I don't know, than 2 or 3 years tenure. But for now, we've got the Stanley Cup final, not rats, just the Stanley Cup final, in our crosshairs, and the Panthers trying to take care of unfinished business from a year ago.
Kulikov got a piece of him, knocked the puck loose. Kyle Okposo back in his own end. He sees there's just 11 seconds remaining. He's going to hold this one back behind the net. The fans to their feet. The Rats rain down. The Panthers win game two by a 4-1 score. The Panthers take both on home ice, and the Panthers lead the Stanley Cup final 2-0.
We just try to play the same game. It's not like we're trying to play a different game or try to shut it down or whatever. Just play really hard, play in your face, keep the gaps good, play simple, move your feet, get some hits, and yeah, it's all about moving our feet out there, and I thought we did a really good job of that tonight.
Matthew Tkachuk and the Panthers sticking to the game plan. And right now, even though they didn't like the way they performed in the opener, they've got the 2-0 lead, 4 unanswered goals after the Oilers had the 1-0 advantage in the first period. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're pleased to welcome a new guest to the show, Mike Cugno of CBS Miami. He's the lead sports anchor and also a host of Pre and Post on the YouTube channel. And so we're glad to talk some Stanley Cup hockey with you, Mike. Really, the Oilers dominated a lot of the opener, even though the Panthers got the win. We heard the Panthers talking about it post-game on Saturday. So what changed in game two?
Go back to game number one, and it really actually started to flip there in game one, particularly in that third period, where they held Connor McDavid and the Oilers to just seven shots after that onslaught in the first two periods. Since then, the following periods, first period tonight, four shots. Second period, three shots. So you can kind of see how the Panthers were getting to that their game in game one and how it kind of carried over to game two. They were able to limit them again in the offensive zone. Obviously, yes, the Oilers did score on their first shot of the game, but after that, it was clamped from Sergei Bobrovsky. The power play unit from the Oilers has been deathly quiet for them. Obviously, they were on historic pace in this postseason on special teams. The Cats have now held them 0-for-7 on the power play. So that's obviously a big difference in this series. Now, don't get me wrong. You can still see the flashes from Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and company. In that first period, you can see the speed that they have, but the style that the Panthers play, it's really grind you out, hold you in your own offensive zone for a long time, and make you take the hits, make you play defense for a long time, and that wears on teams. Not a lot of people can play tall ball, as they call it down here, after hits with Paul Maurice. And so that's what you saw. The third period kind of opened up, but that was to be expected when they take a few more chances trying to get back in the game. But the Panthers have really started to put the clamps on the Oilers, much the same way they did to the Rangers, where they really blow them out, and not only the hits department, but the shot attempts and shots on goal department.
I got to ask you about that first period. It was a roller coaster of emotions because there ends up being a 5-minute major and an ejection. The Panthers seemingly have this long power play where they can try to take advantage and get on the board first, only to then get their own penalty. Plus, the Oilers are the ones who score when they're in 4-on-4. How much did that feel like a wasted opportunity in the first period?
Wasted opportunity and a recurring theme for the Panthers. This is something they definitely have dealt with as an issue. Go back to the Rangers series. They gave up, I believe, two shorthanded goals in the Eastern Conference Finals. So sometimes the power play isn't the best style of hockey for the Panthers, if you can believe it or not. 5-on-5, they're one of the best teams in the league. They always appreciate the man advantage, especially with guys like Alexander Barkov and Sam Reinhart, who led the league in scoring on the power play. But for whatever reason, I don't know if it's complacency or maybe when you think, hey, I've got 5 minutes to do some damage, they kind of just sit back a little bit too much and then someone takes advantage of it. I mean, that goal did come on 4-on-4, so it wasn't a shorthanded, per se, opportunity, but definitely going, you know, putting one of your own guys in the box, not the way to take advantage. And again, this is Connor McDavid. It's Leon Draisaitl. There's a lot of guys, a lot of other guys on that team that can score as well. You don't want to give them any more opportunities than you have to. That's certainly something they can clean up.
Evan Rodriguez ends up with a pair of goals in the third period. This is his first year as a Panther. So as much as we talk about the motivation from Florida for a year ago losing in the Stanley Cup Final, he wasn't part of that. Why does he fit with this group so well?
Well, there's a couple of things here. I've talked to some of the newer Panthers and asked them this question, like, how did you jump on this moving train that had the goal of getting back to the Stanley Cup? They said, this is a professional group of guys. They've seen loss at the highest level. They've been the president trophy winner and lost. They've gone to the Stanley Cup final and lost back-to-back years. So this is a team that knows what losing feels like, and they don't like it. So there's an expectation in that room, and really the guys handle each other. Paul Maurice certainly has an effect, but everyone in there keeps each other accountable. Evan Rodriguez brought in this team by Bill Zito this year and has fit in swimmingly. I mean, he's just such a versatile guy. His two goals in game two come on two different lines. That just tells you how they like to move him up and down and around, and he can be effective. Anton Lundell, I mean, perfect pass on that second one to put it right on his stick. But then you can see Evan Rodriguez's own skill on that first goal where he snaps off a wrist shot really between three Oiler defenders and finds some breathing room to beat Skinner. He's a talented kid, and it just speaks to the depth that the Panthers have, that when they start the game, he's typically on the third line.
Mike Cugno from CBS Miami is with us in the wake of Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final, where the Panthers find themselves now just two wins away from hoisting the first cup in franchise history. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Sergei Bobrovsky was hailed for that shutout in the opener. So much has been made of his record in Stanley Cup Final games, and now here he is with two wins under his belt. How much does he talk about what this would mean to him, considering all the experience, and yet hasn't won the cup to this point?
I think he had a really great quote after game one. He said, "I enjoyed the challenge out there. It was fun." Something to that effect. And it's like, are you kidding me? You just saw 32 shots from some of the best offensive players on planet Earth, and you were having fun out there. When he first came to Florida, the big expectation, 8 years, $10 million AAV, right? He really didn't live up to that contract early on. And, I mean, even going back to last year's Stanley Cup run, he was benched. Alex Lyons was playing for the Panthers in that first-round series a lot against the Boston Bruins. So to see the kind of transformation that Bob has gone through, he's having fun out there. Everyone says he's the hardest-working guy on the team, and it's starting to show. It has flipped for him. I think he's finally enjoying himself here. Not sure what it was that clicked, but something has definitely clicked. And ironically enough, the amount of output that the Oilers put on him in game one, he may have actually appreciated that more than the 19, 20 shots he faced in game two, because he was busy most of the night.
Right.
A lot of times against the Rangers, he was going sometimes 15, 20-minute stretches without seeing a shot because of the way the Panthers play defense. It's hard to locate the puck when that's the case. So he's learned here in this postseason to play probably two different styles, depending on who the team is and what they're working with. It looks like he's having a good time out there.
One of the things I admire about the Panthers is they are who they are. They have nearly perfected their style of play. They don't deviate. They just trust that it's going to work against whoever the opponent happens to be. If you're talking to someone, and maybe you have, who doesn't know anything about the Panthers, how would you describe their identity?
Go to the Boston series, and all the talk was about the Sam Bennett hit on Brad Marchand and what was going to happen. And all the talk you heard was really coming from the Boston side. You would have thought, you know, the Panthers would have to respond, whether in press conferences or in the locker room, to all the negativity and everything surrounding them. No matter what you thought of the hit, I think you look at the team and the way they handle that, and that is they just keep their composure. They keep moving forward. No matter what the storylines are, they don't get into it. There's a rule on that Panthers bench for Paul Maurice. You don't talk to the referees. That's the rule. You don't make them a part of the story. You go out, play the game. The game's going to be called however it's going to be called, but they move forward, even their style. Like, they just keep playing. You saw how fast shot of the cannon the Oilers looked in that first period, but the Panthers just stayed the course. They keep playing their style, and I think that composure is something they've learned over the last 2 years.
What do we know about Alexander Barkov and his status?
Paul Maurice sitting in on that press conference, he did not have an update. He had none, but he was asked multiple times by reporters what his reaction was, what his feelings were on the hit. Paul Maurice said, "This isn't the Oprah Winfrey Show. My feelings don't matter." He was definitely frustrated. Paul Maurice has been a really loose and funny guy in these postseasons up at the mic. Tonight was a different Paul Maurice. It's my opinion that he probably wasn't a fan of some of the hits tonight. The going up high, dry side on Barkov was maybe the tipping point earlier in the game. Itu Saarinen took a shot to the knee. That was the five-minute major we spoke about earlier. That did not look good either. The league's probably going to take a look at some of these hits from the Oilers. We'll see what ends up happening. There is no update yet officially from the Panthers on Barkov's situation. And I mentioned they were a deep team. Even the deepest teams, losing a world-class player like him and a Selke winner would be tough to replace.
Mike Cugno is the lead sports anchor for CBS Miami after the two games in Florida as the Panthers take the 2-0 lead, and now they've got the longest flight in a Stanley Cup final because of the distance between the Panthers and the Oilers' home arenas, and that game not coming up until Thursday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. What was it like with the Panthers fans getting to host these first two games?
It was awesome. It's awesome. The Amerant Bank Arena has been an amazing atmosphere the entire postseason. They're averaging more fans tonight than any other building in the NHL. In the postseason, it is a bigger building, but they're going over capacity. They're selling out every night. The Panther fans were cheering really three things after the win. We want the cup. That was just ringing throughout the building. A lot of people just holding up signs saying two more, two more. And then, of course, everyone asking us while we're doing our live hits on CBS Miami about updates for Barkov. Those are the three things everyone's talking about right now. They can feel it. They're hoping third time at the Cup is the charm here. about 30, 31 years in existence. And yeah, they've been waiting a long time.
I know you also cover the Dolphins right now with mandatory OTAs taking place in the month of June. What's the biggest question facing the Dolphins for 24?
Biggest question is, can they win a playoff game? It's been 24 years since a playoff win for the Dolphins. That's more than my adult life. Mike McDaniel's making a point to start every meeting on the 24th minute of hours just so to kind of drive that home because they know they're going to hear about it all season. That's it. It's getting over the hump. It's simple as that. Tua is up for contract extension. They made it clear he's their guy. It's just, you know, they'll work out the money. I think that gets done probably before training camp starts or at least before the season starts. Tyreek Hill, he deserves a restructuring of his deal. No one's had more receiving yards the last two seasons combined than that guy has. So those are kind of storylines grabbing the headlines. I think they'll work everything out there. Did they do enough on defense to reload? Because Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips, not sure if they're going to be ready for the start of the season. Those two leading sack getters from last year, two of their leading sack getters from last year. They draft a guy in Chop Robinson to help in that outside linebacker area. But they've done a good job reloading that defense in free agency. Can they make it come together under their new defensive coordinator, Anthony Weaver? We know the offense is there. It has to stay around in December and January. For whatever reason, that record dips. Time they start to win late in the year.
Thinking about last season, the Bills, it took until the very last week of the regular season for them to grab the AFC East Division title and remain as the defending champions. But how do you see the balance of power in the AFC East?
Well, the Bills have obviously gone through kind of their shifting and growing pains this offseason as well. I think what they look like this year, they've still got Josh Allen. He's still the best quarterback division until someone knocks him off. What happens with the Jets is a big question mark. We don't know. Will Aaron Rodgers make it through an entire year? We know they have a good defense. Will Aaron Rodgers be a factor? Obviously, if he's healthy and he's the Aaron Rodgers of old, he will be. And then, you know, the Patriots, they've got a young rookie quarterback. They just put them at fourth right now. The Miami Dolphins end up being like, where can they finish? They have the talent to finish the top of the division. They almost did it last year. They're a game or two away from doing it. But, you know, there's two teams in the Bills and the Jets that probably think they have the talent as well. It's probably going to be one of the more interesting races for a division title we've seen in the AFC East in some time, just because the Patriots dominated for two decades. This is the Bills' division until someone else says so, and the Dolphins had their chance last year, and they blew it. I mean, they blew it. They had it. The Bills looked like they were dead in the water, and Miami was going to take the division. It's time for them to prove that they can win late in this season. I know I've said it once, but that's where this team is at.
24. What type of reception did Mike McDaniel get at game one?
No one gets a reception like Big Mike. he fires up the crowd like everyone. I think the dream scenario is for Mike McDaniel and Paul Maurice, the Panthers head coach, to sit down and have a conversation on tape, because the press conferences those two have down here in South Florida have become must-watch TV or must-watch YouTube, however you take it in. But when he shows up, he is such a beloved character down here, a coach. The respect he deserves, coach, because he's won a lot of games, taking the Dolphins to back-to-back playoffs. He's such a beloved coach down here right now. And whenever he shows up to Heat games or Panther games, he is the most welcome guy in the room. I've seen him at Heat games. I've asked him, what do you like about what head coach Eric Spoelstra does? He likes the accountability that he puts on his players. He's in timeouts that Heat players talk to each other, not necessarily having to talk to the coach because they know what to do. That Heat culture runs through him. He said something that he notices, you know, obviously with Paul Maurice and these guys for the Panthers. A little bit of pressure, you know. Panthers and Heat doing a lot of winning down here. Putting some pressure on the Dolphins to do the same.
And now two wins away from the first Stanley Cup in the franchise history. Fans are primed and ready. The next two games are on the road. Follow Mike on Twitter at Mike Cugno, C-U-G-N-O, CBS4, lead sports anchor for CBS Miami. Also has work on CBS Sports HQ and Dolphins Weekly Live because it's almost that time. Mike, it's great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for the time and the insight.
It was awesome. It was awesome being on here. Happy to finally join you.
Yoo-hoo! That's what we like to hear. It's awesome. Awesome to finally be on here. He's been tracking us. Of course, we do have an affiliate there in Miami. 560 WQAM. Lots of people talking and listening when it comes to Stanley Cup Final. Panthers 2 wins away. All right, straight ahead. What do I want to do? Oh, you know, there's more. Caitlin Clark news. My goodness. I want them to focus on the hoops, but then the Indiana Fever go out and lay an egg against one of the best teams in the WNBA on Monday, and it feels like people would actually rather talk about her not making the Olympic team. I do see that there's an extra piece of news along those lines, even as the sentiment continues to pour in. Also, what else? Oh, gosh. Love, love, love the Roger Federer in a new role post-tennis career. Hopefully we'll get more of this. On Twitter, at A-Law Radio, or Twix, as I'm trying to remember to call it now, A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page. Happy to have you with us. It's After Hours.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Doors take us to summers away. Or winter adventures. And afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
Here's with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Caitlin's learning. She's fighting. She gets, you know, the whole 40 minutes, she's in the game. On both ends, she's getting beat up. She keeps fighting. I've got some great people in my locker room. We're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep fighting, and it's going to click, and we're going to get there. But it doesn't happen overnight.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
All of that I agree with. Certainly, Christy Sides has the passion, if not the voice, to be able to lead this team, despite the fact that early on, even as we talk about NFL coaches on the hot seat, you had people calling for her to get fired 1-2 games in because, oh, she must not know how to use Caitlin Clark, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, she's still there. They're still fighting, but it does not come easy. And they are not one of the more talented teams in the WNBA. Not only that, but they're pretty young. And so you're going up against teams that have a lot more experience together. And that includes the Connecticut Sun, a team they've now played 3 times and have lost all 3 times to those Sun. Suns? Sun? To those Sun. Sometimes it's to those Jazzes. To those Jazz. To those, these are kind of the fun, like,
Wilds.
Right, the ones that you decide to pluralize or not pluralize.
Did you see the list of the 6 teams that they're going to, like, that they narrowed it down to for the new Utah hockey team?
I saw that they did that, but I don't remember the titles or the names.
Yeti, Blizzard.
It was like Yeti?
4 of them were no S at the end, which is rare.
Well, that is the case with the Jazz, though.
Right.
Yeti? As in the abominable snowman Yeti?
Right.
Or as in these, what's the
cooler?
That everyone wants. Isn't that Yeti as well?
Yeti.
The ones that are super expensive that everyone wants?
Yes, they are, yeah.
Our friends at Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds, Rudolph Foods, once, and they do like to send me gifts just to thank me for working with them after the fact, not before. I'm not taking kickbacks. Anyway, they send me Christmas gifts, and one of the ones they sent actually to the show had a couple of smaller, they're pretty short, probably not more than 8 ounces, Yeti mugs. And boy, do they keep ice cold for 24 hours, if not more than that. It's pretty amazing how those puppies work.
It's like the one you got me. It's tremendous.
Oh, yay. Yay for me. That's right. I did. So Yeti, and what are the other ones?
Utah Blizzard, the Utah Hockey Club, Utah Mammoth, Utah Outlaws, Utah Venom, or the Utah Yeti.
Okay, first of all, they better not call it the Utah Hockey Club. That's dumb. We can be more creative than that. The Utah Mammoth?
The Mammoth, yeah.
As in the Woolly Mammoth?
The Woolly Mammoth.
I don't like the Blizzard either. That sounds like something you get from Dairy Queen.
Yeah, it's not great.
No, it doesn't. Like, and no one's, well, I shouldn't say no one. There are people out there that are afraid of Blizzards, but still, that doesn't seem like a, I don't know.
Mammoth is okay, but it's already a team name. I know the Colorado Mammoth and the National Lacrosse League have been around for a long time. They're the Mammoth.
Oh, so I didn't know that. Okay.
The Venom's kind of lame.
The
so
Utah
is the Outlaws.
Venom. Well, I see. I think the Outlaws is better than Venom.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Does Utah have some history of animals with venom?
Maybe there's snakes over there, I suppose.
Wow. Marco's here in studio. Did you hear the finalists for the new Utah hockey team?
I did not.
And I suppose there's no way they could take the Coyotes. That wouldn't make sense there. I'm sure they have Coyotes, but you wouldn't want to take the Arizona name. So Venom is one of them.
Stop them taking the Jazz. Make a whole lot of sense.
Lakers.
The Utah Venom, the Utah Mammoth, the Utah Blizzard. Blizzard or Blizzards?
Blizzard. Just Blizzard.
Oh.
Singular Blizzard.
The Utah Blizzard, the Utah Yeti, which is, right, I immediately thought of the coolers, though I suppose you could say Abominable Snowman. The Utah Outlaws. And which one am I missing?
The Utah Hockey Club.
That one's dumb. Utah Hockey Club?
Yeah,
you'd be the only one in the NHL that doesn't have a name
HC,
for your team?
They would
no,
go by.
I know that's the new age thing, and everybody wants to go
it's
by the
soccer.
European soccer. So stop.
It's kind of classy.
I don't like it.
It's classy if it's a soccer team.
I mean, just find a name. It could be a bad one, but find one. I'm not thrilled with any of those. The Yeti is interesting. Just I'm trying to picture the logos.
The Utah Yeti.
Oh, can be cool.
I do like that it's a Utah Yeti. Yeah. I do like that part. The fact that there's a little bit of a slide to it from Utah Yeti.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. See, it's that sound.
Yeah.
And then the giggle at the end. Utah Yeti.
I don't know if I like the singular Blizzard. Maybe, but I guess Blizzards wouldn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, then
either.
I want to go to Dairy Queen.
Out of all those, I'm not the Venom. I don't really get.
I don't either. That's what I said.
I don't know what the correlation there is.
It's got to be snakes, right?
I guess is that a big thing in Utah? I'm unaware.
Yeah, it's a desert. A lot of desert there.
Utah?
Is there?
No,
there
it's mountains. It's mostly mountains.
No, I thought like the southern part had some desert.
Oh.
I don't know.
I could be wrong.
Huh. All right.
I don't think of desert when I think of Utah.
Right. Nor do I think snakes when I think of Utah.
Yeah. Out of those, I would probably pick the Yeti. I will say it might be a little reluctant, but I would take the Yeti out of there. I none of them really kind of like, oh, yeah, that's the one.
It's growing on me the more I think it and say it out loud, Utah Yeti. No one else has that name, so why not?
I think that the mascot and the logo could have a lot of different cool options with a Yeti. I do. I think there's a lot of different ways you can go by that.
So would you do something out of Empire Strikes Back, that giant white, I forgot what he's actually called in Empire Strikes Back, but he's on the Hoth planet, the ice planet of Hoth, and he not only kills the Tauntaun that Luke is riding, but he drags Luke off into his lair. And then just as he's finished up eating the Tauntaun, which is really gross, he's got blood all over his white fur. Then what happens? Luke manages to get his lightsaber unstuck out of the ice and takes his arm off.
It's a Wampa.
It's called a Wampa?
Right.
Huh. I guess I forgot that term. There's so many characters in Star Wars. And not as many as Lord of the Rings, but still many.
You could.
How about the Utah Wampa?
I like that. Imagine him on the sleeve.
The Utah Jedi. Well, I mean, we're so good at this. We should be doing this.
I don't know. But again, but that's kind
the of... The Utah
that's,
Sith.
That's
yeah, no. Buy a jersey tomorrow.
Me too.
But I do like... I think the Yeti is starting to grow on me quite a bit.
I like the Seattle Kraken. That was the new one after the Golden Knights, which is whatever. Weren't they sued initially by somebody who said they were stealing...
Golden Knights?
Yeah.
Don't remember.
I think Army...
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Army sued them initially. So the Seattle Kraken's brilliant. I love that. It's a Leviathan, right? Some type of a water monster.
Mm-hmm. Mythical beast.
They woke a mythical beast. But what, we need something with a little more bite for Utah. Yeti's good, though.
I'm starting to like the Yeti. I don't know if they're going to go that way, but
Yeti snowmen.
Because you can do some different stuff. I mean, when you got whether you go, I mean, more Wampa, or you can go a little bit more ferocious. You can be friendly. You can almost be like Monsters Inc. type of thing you never know.
That's too comical.
There's a lot of different ways, and I'm sure there's a lot of alternate uniforms that you could put together and have different Yetis.
I'm thinking the Avalanche did. I don't know if they still have it on their shoulder patch. They used to have a Yeti foot. As like an alternate logo.
See, that's the thing. You can't put Blizzard and Avalanche together in states that are bordering. That to me seems a little
I just, I don't, campy. It just doesn't, the Utah Blizzard, like what, so what? You're just right. A, I mean, you're
I just an, think s'mores then.
I mean, what are you? You're going to be as big snowball? Like what's the, what's the thing?
Like the Syracuse orange, but just white.
Yeah, it's white out. You could have a white out nights for the Utah Blizzard, but I prefer the Yeti. I think I'm going with Utah Yeti. Now that I've got the image of the cooler out of my head, I'm going with Utah Yeti.
Mammoth is totally out here.
Utah Mammoth. It's awkward.
A little bit.
The Utah Mammoth. The Utah Majors.
Yeah, again, I have to see some sort of mascot with this. And it doesn't mean a mascot like running around. Like I'm not expecting a Yeti.
I'm with the Sith.
But I need to see what your logo is. I need to see what it's going to look like. I want a cool sweater. There's got to be stuff that works with it.
The Utah Wildebeest.
That's not bad.
I'm trying to come up with something that's feared or something that's, I don't know, scary, intimidating, would incite fear and anxiety into the hearts of visitors.
You said mountain lion? Does that do it for you?
The Utah Bobcats. Nah, that didn't work in Charlotte either. The Utah Panther. Nope, already got a Panther. The Utah Lynx. Nope, got one of those too in the WNBA, right? Isn't that Minnesota? Minnesota Lynx. The Utah Black Panthers. No.
It's not like you have to have something where it's, I mean, how many Bulldogs are out there? How many, like, you don't have to have something where it's unique. Mm-hmm. It's just preferable if you can come up with something that's.
The Utah Sarlacc.
Again, I'm buying a jersey tomorrow, but.
I'm just asking you, like throwing things out there just in case you.
This is a fan vote, so.
Right.
Well, who came up with this list? Did Utah itself?
The Utah Bantha! The Utah Bantha! How about that? If not the Sith, the Utah Bantha.
That's not bad.
Thank you, Jay. I appreciate that Jay actually likes my suggestions. There are people out there that would pay big money for these jerseys and these logos. And the Bantha are feared. They're feared.
Imagine what you could do on Star Wars night.
Phenomenal.
Which one of the Bantha? Because now I don't know.
The Banthers are the big woolly mammoths. They look a lot like the ancient beast. No. Here, I'll show you a picture of a Bantha. They look like a woolly mammoth on land. See, like an elephant, but the woolly.
Yeah.
Snuffleupagus, only mean.
Aha.
Aha.
Is he from the Teletubbies? No.
Snuffleupagus?
He's from
Electric Company.
Who's from the Teletubbies? Yeah.
Sesame Street Electric Company. Teletubbies are their own little weird thing.
They have like a vacuum thing with like a nose like that, though. I forgot its name.
That I don't know. Sesame Street I watch. That I've been on a lot. Snuffleupagus is from there. He hangs out with Big Bird.
Yeah, he's awesome. Well, he's a woolly mammoth, but he's a friendly woolly mammoth.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where mammoth is coming from?
Probably.
I still say Bantha's more creative.
Yeah, I think you'd have some copyright issues there. I think
you think?
I think there'd be a problem.
Hmm.
Again, you can't be the Wampas.
That applies for the Sith as well.
Yeah. I remember George Lucas got mad when Android came out. He tried to like sue Verizon. He's like, "That's my word." Or, yeah. So, my word.
These are not the androids you're looking for. All right, we're toying with it. We don't necessarily like it, but of those, I think we're on the Yeti, Utah Yeti. Yeah, I like it.
I'm going Yeti.
Or is it Salt Lake Yeti?
Utah.
It's Utah.
Yeah, okay. They're going with Utah.
All right. Interesting.
And it says no matter what the name is, at least for their first season, they're going to have Utah across the front of the jersey.
Mm. It's not as cool as the Fever and all the people out there who have fever. Hmm. You missed it last week when I decided that's what my mom has, fever. She texted me tonight that she was watching the game and they weren't doing very well. That's what she said. So we'll get to that coming up. The Utah Sand People. The Utah Jawas. I'm just on it now. I'm on the Star Wars character.
Yeah, I still think copyright would be a problem there. I don't think they're going to give that to you.
You're probably right. And that's good. George Lucas has got it all locked down until he sold to Disney, and now it's very
well, that's even worse.
Yes.
And you got Disney to give? No.
Yeah. 855-212-4227. What NFL coaches have to prove it in 2024?
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch's sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Healthy baby skin starts from the bottom. Pampers Swaddlers diapers absorb wetness away from the skin better than the leading value brand, with up to 100% leak-proof protection to help keep your baby's skin dry. Don't forget to pair Pampers diapers with new Pampers Free and Gentle wipes. They clean better and are 5 times stronger than Huggies Natural Care for easy cleanup without fear of tearing, no matter the mess. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Also on Twix and Facebook, we're glad to connect with you.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I still feel like there's so many ways that I can continue to be better, and that probably goes for our whole team. We still feel like there are so many ways for us to improve and execute, especially down the stretch, and, you know, not make it as close.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I know. We started out last segment talking about Christy Sides and Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever and the fact that they had lost to the Connecticut Sun again. Sun have the best record in the WNBA, while the Fever are now still sitting on 3 wins. And the reason we got sidetracked, besides my spaghetti plate brain, is because we were, well, I was, I shouldn't say we, because it's not Jay's fault. I was toying with the idea of Sun versus Suns. And then he jumps in. Actually, this is Jay's fault. He jumps in with this list of names that Utah is considering for its future hockey team and how some of them are those types of words you don't pluralize. Mammoth. Yeti. Wait, we don't know if you pluralize Yeti.
Yetis. It's just Yeti. So, Yeti. Yeah, one Yeti.
Venom. Although there could be more than one Venom, which would be Venoms.
This is just a drop of Venom.
Just a drop of
Venom. One drop.
Just one drop. drop of venom. Anyway, back to the Fever. Another one of those team logos and team nicknames that you do not pluralize. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Caitlin limited to only 10 points against the Connecticut Sun. It's clear that they feel like they have the defense that can play her straight up. Dejanay Carrington led the way for the Sun, and she's also got Tyasha Harris at her press conference sitting next to her.
I think the scout was pretty similar to the last time. We switched some things up, you know, threw a couple switches, threw a couple reds, but it was a lot of kind of one-on-one. We didn't trap as much, just sporadically. Yeah, it was a lot of the same.
It's seatbelt season for her, if you guys remember.
It's seatbelt season for her, meaning buckle up.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Like, I'm not super cool. I'm not any kind of cool, so I have no idea if that's supposed to be trash talk for buckle up.
I think I got. I took it as trash talk, meaning like she's not going to be unleashed yet. Like she's not going to be able to go off against them. Like they're going to tie her up really tight.
Hmm. They're going to buckle her into her seat?
That's how I took it.
Huh. All right. I guess it's open for interpretation. But yeah, here's the thing. When you have so few teams in the league like they do, then the issue is that you see these teams a lot. And so they're running into the Sun and the Liberty over and over again early on. And these are tough days and tough games for the Fever. So Clark and her coach, Christy Sides, kind of said the same thing about effort.
This is a team you can't come out and be lackadaisical against. Like they're just that good. They're going to punch you in the mouth. And I don't think we had it from the jump. And, you know, obviously that's a little disappointing. But, you know, that's something they can't coach. Effort is not something they can coach. They can coach X and O's, but they can't coach that. And I thought we just could have played with a lot better energy. I thought we let little things on the offensive end frustrate us, and we didn't play good defense. It seemed like everything they got was easy. Nothing was challenged, uncontested threes. We were giving up and ones. We put them at the free throw line, and that was the key to the game. Like, you can't foul this team. They lead the league in free throws attempted, I'm pretty sure. And that's exactly what we did. It's not a recipe to win many games.
There is accountability there. I think because of Christy Sides and the tone she sets, as well as Caitlin Aaliyah Boston, who had a double-double on this night, along with 5 assists. So she was the top performer for the Fever. This is a team that's still getting better. We know this. And I'm confident that most real fans or new fans who believe in the team will not lose hope after a handful of games. It could be a long process. But isn't that something that we watch for in other sports? So yeah, there are going to be some fans who tune in, tune out, and that's kind of the end of it. But I think there will be fans that stick with. Some of the theories about why she was left off the Olympic team, they blow me away. I'm stunned at how outrageous some of the theories are. It's safe to say that I don't believe a lot of them. I gave you my theories, my reasons, as much as I would love to see her on the team. And there is still an opportunity. Apparently, she's listed as one of the first alternates. She's considered one of the first alternates for this Olympic team should someone get injured. Could you imagine? This would crack me up. If after all of the outrage and the fury and the conversation, the debate, the dialogue, the pointing fingers, the claims of racism, and they don't like her, and it's politics, I even saw one sports writer call it amateur hour. So many reasons and so many accusations for Jennifer Rosati and the selection committee and why Caitlin Clark was left off this team. Again, I'm stunned that there aren't other snubs that are getting attention. But after all the outrage and the anger and the debate and the criticism, could you imagine if she ends up making the team as an alternate? That would be so par for the course in our world. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. By the way, Caitlin Clark was asked, because she's asked about everything in hoops, her reaction to Dan Hurley staying at UConn.
I really admire him. I love his intensity. I think the way he coaches the game is amazing. The way he coaches his players is amazing and holds them accountable and really gets the most out of them. I've really loved watching them over the course of the last couple of years. And I think it's cool he's staying in college basketball. I think he really loves it. And I think he loves being around those young men. And obviously he makes them great. So I've been a big fan of his and big fan of his program. And they've been fun to watch.
I like that she said accountable. I actually didn't know that when I was calling the fever accountable, but it's clearly something that's important, a recipe that's important for a winning team. I'm seeing some of your responses to the whole Utah Hockey Club conversation on, it's on Twix, and I'm cracked up about it. Okay, so first of all, I don't know why I didn't think of this, but Brian sends us a great gif. It's Chewbacca, and he's making a lot of noise. Why did we not come up with the Utah Wookiees? That would be perfect.
Kind of works, too.
Who's not afraid of a Wookiee who can pull your arm out of your socket?
I think everybody would be.
Yeah, so the Utah Wookiees. John goes with the Utah Rattlers or the Utah Scorpions. I don't like those kinds of animals, so I'd go with no. He also comes up with the Rustlers or the Wranglers or the Frontiersmen or the Utah Aspen. He's really put a lot of thought into this. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons. The diseases that I am protecting my child against, they're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Start your summer road trip at Midas and get up to $30 off your next repair service. Plus, get a free closer look vehicle check to make sure you're road trip ready. So if you need a brake service, an alignment check, or tune-up, hit up Midas for up to $30 off. For more details, request your appointment at Midas.com.